Praise the Lord. Long passage of Scripture this morning. We are going to be in this passage this morning as well as tonight. And just an interesting story, and Craig's message went right along, or Craig's song, the song went right along with my message this morning. And I love it when that happens. We didn't talk about it, but it may not look like it at first, but you'll see that at the end whenever we do finally end. But anyway, are we cold? Are we hot? Who's cold? Who's too hot? Whoa! All right. Who's just right? Who's lukewarm? Let's go ahead and have the altar call. No, just kidding. But anyway, all right, Ezekiel 35, the air, I do hear it running and blowing, so it should cool off a little bit. Ezekiel 35 is our passage. Father, we love you, and oh God, I'm so glad that I met the Master. I am so glad that at the age of 17, I realized that I was lost, and because of my sin, I was on my way to hell. And I'm so glad that I met the Master, the one who could save me, who could change my life and make me a new creature. And all things were passed away and all things became new. And I pray that if there's someone here today who does not know the Master, that today they'd come to Christ and they'd be saved. And I pray, Lord, for Christians all of this room, that we'd recognize that you are the Master. Whether you're our Master or not, well, sad to say, so many choose to kind of do their own thing, but you're the Master. And God, you can change our lives. And I pray you'll do that today in Jesus' name. Amen. This passage of Scripture it starts out with really the judgment of God. When God tells Ezekiel here, he says, "Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it." I mean, he is telling him, let them know they've had it. Let them know. It's kind of like when children get in trouble at school and they come home and the mom looks at them and says, "All right, what'd you do?" And they show, you know, the list of all the bad things they did and everything. And they say, "You are in trouble when your dad gets home." Of course, we dads, we always hate that. You know, we come home, the kids, instead of running, "Oh, we love you, Dad," they're hiding, you know. But that's kind of what's going on here. I mean, literally, Ezekiel, God says, "Ezekiel, you tell them. You tell them they're in trouble. You let them know they are going to be punished." And the thing is, they have lived their lives. They've gone on pretty much just not even caring whether there's God. That's kind of like us today, honestly. That's our nation. That is most people. Most folks, you know, it's like there is no God. They don't recognize God. They don't care about God. But notice, and the title of the message is found in three times in this passage. In verse 9, notice it says this at the end of it, "And ye shall know that I am the Lord." Ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 12, it says, "And thou shalt know that I am the Lord." That's the second time he said that. Verse 15, he says, "And they shall know that I am the Lord." The title this morning is "They Shall Know." By the way, one of these days, the United States of America, they're going to know that he's the Lord. One of these days, the whole world is going to know. One of these days, those who blaspheme the name of God, those who go against the commandments of God, one of these days, they're going to know he is the Lord. He may not be your Lord, and you may not be listening to him and following him, but one of these days, my Bible says, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? And so Seir here, in verse 2, it says, "Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir and prophesy against it." Seir is the capital of the nation that is called Edom here. Now, that may not mean a whole lot to us today, but theoretically and according to geography of that day, Edom would be the Arabs of Jordan and Saudi Arabia. And so the Edomites, of course, that goes all the way back to Esau in the Old Testament, and we're going to talk about that tonight. But this passage is about the judgment of God on this group of people known as the Edomites, and their capital being Mount Seir. And it's all about the judgment of God. And God says three times to him, "You're going to know that I'm the Lord. No matter what you've done, no matter what you say, no matter what you try to do, you are going to know that I am the Lord." These Edomites, and here's the whole issue, they hated the Jews. By the way, they still do. I mean, they absolutely, do you ever wonder what it is that makes, you know, tiny little Israel surrounded by Edomites, really? Do you ever wonder what it is that makes them all so mad at Israel? You ever wonder what it is, you know, they just constantly are beating on them and attacking them and persecuting them. Why do they hate them so bad? Well, that's what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. Because the Bible says in verse 5, thou hast had a perpetual hatred. Now, I'm going to tell you, a lot of the problems that folks in this room have today is you have carried a hatred from years ago. You haven't got the slightest idea what it is you even hate. You've heard a mom or a dad or a relative or a friend or somebody else, you know, some of these family feuds that go on. You know, people are still fighting today, and they have no idea what they're even mad about. What was this about anyway? Well, your great-grandpa said we're just supposed to hate that family, and that's it. You know, there's folks all over this room. You've got a bitterness. You've got a hatred that is a perpetual hatred that you've passed on for years. I hope you'll be here tonight. I really do. If you kind of think that might be something in your life, I believe we can help you tonight from the Word of God. But again, they absolutely hated the Jews, and they still hate the Jews. They desire to occupy their land. They still desire to occupy their land, even today. You read about it in the news. You hear about it all the time, and that battle is going on. You ever wonder, though? Here's piddly little Israel. I mean, just a little nation surrounded by enemies. You ever kind of wonder why they aren't crushed? Oh, over the years, they've tried to crush them. Haven't you ever thought about that? If you just get a map out sometime and look at Israel and everything around them, they hate them. And here's little Israel surrounded. And they've tried. They've tried over and over and over again. They've tried. You ever wonder why they can't? Well, this message is why they can't. This message is why they won't. This message is exactly why Israel hasn't been conquered by their enemies. In history, and this is what happened in history, whenever the Babylonians, whenever an enemy, and especially the Babylonian captivity, when the Babylonians invaded Israel and Judah, the Edomites literally cheered for the enemy. I mean, they cheered for Israel to be wiped out. They cheered for them to die. Now again, they're all related, but they hate them. You have a relative maybe you hate? You have a relative you've got a bitterness toward? Understand, God said to them, he said, hey, you hate the Israelites, and because of this hatred, you're going down. You're going to cheer when they're hurting. You're going to rejoice over them being taken captive. You're going to be happy at their destruction. Oh, yeah, the Edomites, they said, hey, if they're all wiped out, we'll just move into the land and take over. Oh, my. And that's the history, and it's always been that way. The Edomites, as Israelites were hiding from those that were capturing them and taking their land, the Edomites came in and told of their hiding places. I mean, they turned them in. They were cheering over their death. They were cheering over the slaughter. They were cheering. They were rejoicing at their destruction. In fact, any time Israel has been attacked, later on, the Romans, when they attacked, when they sacked Jerusalem years ago, after years, the Edomites were cheering. Yeah, go ahead, kill them, wipe them out. And what was their thought? We'll move in and take over their land. Still going on today. Still going on. During the Holocaust, Edomites, kill them, wipe them out. That's good. You know, God says, I'm angry. God says, I don't like that. God says, I'm not for that. I got news for you. If you have a hatred right now that has nothing to do with you, somebody just said, you're mad because somebody, because your dad was mad. You're mad because grandpa was mad. You're mad because of this thing way back in the past. God says, look, you're not going to get away with that. That's exactly what took place here. The Edomites had their own goals. Notice verse 10, the Bible says, because thou hast said, these two nations and these two, talking about Israel and Judah, these two nations and these two countries shall be mine, and we will possess it. They have said that for years and years and years and years. They continue to say it. They will continue to say it. They hate the Jews. They said, hey, you know what? We will possess it. And three times God says, I got news for you. The day is coming when you're going to know I am the Lord. God says, you know, your actions and what you're doing, your hatred, your bitterness, there is a day coming, God says, you're going to know who I am. I am the Lord. I want to show you three things out of this passage that they're going to know. And these are big words, so you can write them down and you're going to say, I learned some big words today. Number one, they shall know God's omnipresence. Now, for Christians, you know, we hear these words all the time, omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience, and so it's not, oh, that scares me. Really, omnipresence, presence means he's there, omni means he's everywhere. That's all, omnipresence. They shall know God's omnipresence, and it's P-R-E-S-E-N-C-E, all right, if you want to try to spell it right. They shall know God's omnipresence. In verse 10, it says, we got confidence. By the way, Babylonian captivity, Israel, it's wiped out. People are slaughtered. The Edomites are cheering. They're going to go in and possess the land. That's their plan. But oh. What's it say? Verse 10. We will possess it, whereas the Lord was there. Oh, the Lord was there. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. We didn't figure that out. We didn't count on that. The Lord was there. You know, omnipresence means he's everywhere. Yes, the Babylonians would wipe out the Jews. Yes, the Edomites would try to move right in, but God was there. What is it that keeps Israel from being defeated by all these nations today? The Lord was there. Hey, you know what? What's going to help you with whatever you're going through, whatever trial, whatever problem, if you're saved? The Lord is there. The Lord is there. Oh, you know, the enemy, Satan, he's after you, and he's chasing you, and he's trying to get you down, and he's trying to ruin your life. But if you're saved today, God is there. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said, lo, I am with you always. And that means when you are low, amen, and it looks bad, he's there. Just as he was there when the Edomites cheered at the destruction of God's people, they cheered at the captivity of the Babylonians, but they couldn't take over the land. Why? Well, because the Lord was there. God was still there. How foolish men can be. How foolish, as we watch in our day all the conspiracies going on. And I get a kick out of, all the different theories and everything. And yes, there is a conspiracy, folks. There really is. And the conspirator is Satan. And he's been out to get God and God's people since the Garden of Eden. We see it. We read it in our Bibles. Oh, yeah. You know, well, what do you think about the trilateral this and the trilateral commission and you know, the communists are doing their thing. Oh, they've got so many footholds in the world. It's unbelievable, of course. Well, you know, what about the Muslims? There's all kinds of danger. And yeah, I understand all that. But I got news for you. God is still there. Listen, if anything is going to go down, it's Israel. If anything is going to be defeated, it's going to be Israel after all these years. But it hadn't been. It hasn't been taken over. It hasn't been conquered by the Edomites. Why? Because the Lord's there. The Lord's there. I don't care how bad it looks. I don't care how bad you may think it is. I don't care how surrounded you may be. Just get you a little map sometime, a world map, and look at little Israel there. And understand, God said, I'm there. I don't care how bad. Don't care how hard. I'm there. God is everywhere. Amen. God is everywhere. It's so foolish. All the conspiracies, all the things going on today, all, you know, these people, they're going to take over this and take over that. You know, honestly, okay, you know, our roof can go and there can be damage and things. But devil, you can't do anything but what God allows. Now just back off. Amen. Or just keep roaring. You know, nobody's ever been hurt by a roar. Amen. Some of you tell your face it's okay. Amen. Luke's amen to me down there. I hear him. They shall know God's omnipresence. God wants them to know I'm there. Now, God's going to allow the Antichrist to rule for a while. He's going to let him have some power. Only so, eventually, the Antichrist will gather an army. And we studied it in the book of Revelation. And the battle of Armageddon isn't really much of a battle because the armies are going to be crushed. They shall know. They shall know the Lord's there. It's like you know, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned. And it's interesting as you read it. First, they tried to cover up their sin with their own works. They made the fig leaves, you know. Tried to cover them. They were ashamed. Tried to cover themselves with their own works. God made it very clear, you can't do that. That isn't going to work. But then they hid as if God couldn't see them. As if somehow, you know, it's like people trying to hide from God. You know, our room is full of folks that, you know, we have our time that we sneak and we look for, you know, any people to, oh, I hope they don't see me. Do you understand? God's there. You're not getting away with anything. We aren't getting away with anything. God is there. Just as Adam and Eve found. He was there. King Ahab and Jezebel, you know, they did their thing. They stole Naboth's vineyard. How'd they steal it? By killing Naboth. Hey, look what we got away with. Old Ahab, you know, he was so excited. But God was there. And the dogs licked Ahab's blood up when he died. And the dogs ate Jezebel. Yeah, because God was there. Jonah ran from the presence of the Lord, the Bible says. He ran. He ran from the presence. Yeah, he got in a boat and he sailed to Tarshish. I'll get away. I'll get away from the will of God. I'll get away from the presence of the Lord. But God was there. And God just, in a storm. And next thing Jonah knows, he's floating in the water. And then the next thing he knows, he's in the belly of the whale. Yeah. God was there. Everybody finds out about God's omnipresence eventually. You know, we all do. How did you know? You know, come on. As a kid, our moms always knew. How do they always know? My mom always knew. It didn't matter what it was. One time she knew because there was mud everywhere and she knew where I'd been. How did you know, Mom? Well, moms just know, and there's a trail of mud, you know. And it's like, how do they always know? And you know what? We find out. God knows. He's there. He's there. He is always right there. You know, somebody, you know, you get asked often, why do you folks believe in only one God? Why is there only one God? Well, someone said this, God fills every place. There's no room for another because he's everywhere. How silly we are when we think somehow we're going to avoid or we're going to hide from God. How silly to think we're going to ignore God. He's there. You know, how foolish we are when we think somehow we're going to trick God. Because God's there. He's there. You cannot run from, hide from God. And I got news for you. He's here this morning. And he's here. And the question for you is this. Have you ever been saved? If you died today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? Because he knows. He knows. Oh, you know, I'll just not come back to church. But that doesn't change whether you're saved or not. What you need to do is you need to come face to face with God who is here. And you need to come face to face with whether you're saved or not, whether you're going to heaven or not. That's why it's soul winning. We always ask, if you die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? We don't ask if you're religious. We don't ask if you're a good person. We don't ask any. It's just, do you know? Because you can know whether you're saved or not. Hey, Christian, are you right with God? He knows. He's here. He watches what you do. Well, you know, how many times? I know I went to church years ago as a teenager. I'd go to church just to see the pretty girls, you know, try to find a new crop. Amen. I mean, the world's girls, we were there, but I was unsaved. And I'd go to church and I'd read the hymn book. You know, I'd go to church, I'd read the announcements. Well, God was right there. And, you know, it's amazing how I thought I was hiding from God, but it seemed like he just pretty much was always right there after me. You know, you can run, you can hide, but God's there. And it's like God told the Edomites, you know, you're going to know my omnipresence. You're going to know that you're not going to take over Israel as long as I'm there. Amen. Hey, are you away from God today? You know, the prodigal son, we all know the story. He thinks he's going to have such a good time, and he does. He just has a ball out there. He's got everything. Got, you know, all the people love him because he has money. It's amazing how many people love you when you have money. Oh, love, that's not really true, but they want to be around you, you know. And he had it. He had the party life. He had the women. He had, you know, he had all the parties and all that kind of stuff going. But then his money ran out, and he found himself in a pig pen. The whole time, God was there. The whole time, God's chasing him down. The whole time, God's working on him. But he didn't get his attention until he was in the pig pen. And in the pig pen, he ate the food that the pigs wouldn't even eat. Boy, you can get that low. But I guarantee he was glad God was there, because all he had to do is call. And I don't know, maybe your life is in the pig pen now. Maybe you're at the place now, you're eating the food that the pigs won't even eat. Sometimes it takes that low to get there. But I can tell you this, God's there. And you can call on him anytime. And you can get right with him anytime. And he's there to lift you up out of that mire and that mud and that slop. And he's there to lift you up. And he wants to raise you up. And he wants to set your feet on the rock. And he wants to change your life. Oh, he says, hey, Edomites, you're going to know that I'm the Lord. You shall know my omnipresence. Number two, they shall know God's omniscience. His omniscience. I don't know. I don't know how foolish man can be. We somehow think God's not very smart. Omniscience means he knows everything. Not only is he everywhere, but he knows everything. All knowing. Notice verse 12. It's interesting. Thou shalt know that I am the Lord and that I have heard. You see it? I have heard all thy blasphemies which thou hast spoken against the mountains of Israel, saying they are laid desolate, they are given us to consume. He said, I've heard you taunting my people. I've heard you putting down my people. I've heard you rejoicing at their calamity. I've heard it all. Verse 13, thus with your mouth you boasted against me. By the way, when you talk about God's people in a bad way, you talk about God in a bad way. Always. With your mouth you've boasted against me and have multiplied your words against me. Watch what he says. I have heard them. God knows everything. You can't talk about God behind his back. You might as well face him, because he hears every word. He doesn't just hear the words we say. He knows what we think. He knows everything. Everything. That's why it's so silly for us to act one way when we come to church than we act any other time. God knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. Oh, this is a terrible, boring mess. This isn't going to happen to me. I know I'm going to get away with this. At least my parents don't know I'm doing well. You know, nobody. God, he hears your thoughts. He knows, because he knows everything. That's why we ought to just be honest with God. I've always thought at altar calls, it amazes me how we think somehow fidgeting with something else will keep God from speaking to our heart when he's already dealt with us? Just face it. Just get it right with God. Amen. Because he knows everything. He already knows. Well, I didn't want to talk to God about this because, well, I just kind of didn't want to. He already knows. He already knows. He hears all. The Edomites, they think, we've got all these plans. We can talk about all this. We can plan all this stuff. God knows what you're doing. Years ago, I remember we remodeled a building behind our church back at Faith Baptist Church in Bern. And we remodeled, it had been a body shop, I think. And we remodeled that and made it into our school area. And in the hallway, you walked in the door and we had lockers in the hallway for all the students to put their books and everything. And at the end of that hallway was the furnace room. And I happened to be there very early that morning and had to do some things in the furnace room. I don't remember what I was, it might have been, I'm not sure what it was, but I was in the furnace room doing some work and the door had shut. It didn't shut tight, but it had shut, and there was the grate for the cold air return was in the furnace, and so people started coming in the hall, and they came in the door and came to their lockers, and students are talking, and I'm in the furnace room, and I thought, and they didn't know I was there. I didn't even think about it until I heard them talking, and oh, was that a fun day. It was so exciting, really, it was, and there wasn't anything wicked or vile or anything like that, but it was interesting, some of the different things, and some of the ways that I was able to use that to and finally I told them, how I had been in there, and they were all, it was like, oh, we're so glad we didn't say what we wanted to, but, but understand, folks, God knows everything. He knows. He knows the chat room. Okay, he knows about it. He already knows. He knows the texts. Okay, he knows the Facebook. It always amazes me. Somebody says, well, I didn't want anybody to know that. And you put it on Facebook. You are just short of being an idiot. Honestly, I have no idea what you expect or what you think, but you need to go back to school. I'm serious. But even more than that, somehow we think God's not going to find out. He knows. And the Edomites, let's do this. And God, I hear. I heard you. I know what you're up to. We honestly, this drone thing, you should be more, I don't want the government spying on me. The drones are out there. And we talked last year about the spy insects, right? We had a caterpillar, and somebody said that was a drone, and they were, what a real spy insect would be, a spider. But anyway, hey, give me a little credit, all right? But you say, why? Oh, I don't want them hearing. But you don't care that God hears everything? I have a solution for not worrying about what the drones and everything hears, is just be careful, little mouth, what you say. I mean, seriously, if there was a drone buzzing around here and listening to what, I don't care. We put our messages on the internet for everybody to listen to. We want them to hear. Amen. You say, oh, there's some things I don't want anybody to know about. There's something God knows, because he knows everything, absolutely everything. You understand? He heard their boasting, it says in verse 13. He heard it all. He knew about it. He has always heard Satan's plots and Satan's plans. He knows about all that. All the conspiracies. He hears all. He heard Nimrod when Nimrod said, we'll build a tower and reach to heaven. And God dealt with it by confusing the languages. He heard wicked Haman when Haman had his plot to kill Mordecai and thought he'd just kill all the Jews with it. And Haman said, we'll build a gallows to hang him on. And can't help but read that and smile when Haman is hung on that gallows. And in my mind, I see him going. He thought he got away with it. He thought he had it all figured out, but God knew. He knew what he was up to. Hey, you know what? He knew what David was up to when David committed adultery, didn't he? Yeah. We read it, and it's like, oh, David, he got away with it. Not only did he do that, he had the woman's husband murdered. Oh, yeah, David, in the Bible. Yeah, I know it. Yeah. And we read it, and we think, well, surely God's going to, well, God dealt with it big time. Yeah, you know. Hey, you know what? He hears your flirting conversations, your chat rooms. He hears all that. He hears you. He knows all about it. He knows your plans. He knows the words. He knows the language. He hears the mocking. He hears the gossip. He hears the lies. He hears the excuses. We may fake everybody else out. You're not ever going to fake God out. He knows. He knows it all because he is omniscient. He knows everything. And God made it very clear. Okay, Edomites, you're going to know I'm the Lord. You may have this all figured out in your mind. You may have it all written down, what you're going to do. But I got news for you. I know all about it. And I am going to judge you. Number one, they shall know his omnipresence, that he's everywhere. Number two, they shall know God's omniscience, that he is all-knowing. Number three, and the last point, they shall know God's omnipotence. That means he's all-powerful. They're going to know it. He is all-powerful. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord God, when the whole earth rejoiceth, I will make thee desolate. As thou didst rejoice at the inheritance of the house of Israel because it was desolate, so will I do unto thee. Thou shalt be desolate, O Mount Seir, and all Idumea, even all of it, and they shall know that I am the Lord, and they shall know that I am all-powerful. Hey, God is in control. Verse 6, he says, therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood, and blood shall pursue thee, sith thou hast not hated blood, even blood shall pursue thee. He said, you're going to laugh. You're going to rejoice when my people are slaughtered. You're going to think that's good, that my people and their families are being massacred by the Babylonians or the Romans or the Germans or whoever it may be, and you're going to rejoice over that. Okay, if you like blood, you're going to see blood. That's what God said. And God is all-powerful. He said in verse 7, thus will I make Mount Seir most desolate. Several times he says that. And cut off from it him that passeth out and him that returneth. I will fill his mountains with his slain men. In thy hills and in thy valleys and in all thy rivers shall they fall that are slain with a sword. You're gonna make fun of my people. You're gonna laugh at their calamity. You're gonna mock when they are in trouble and when I've had to deal with them. I remember one time my sister got in trouble and you know that was back in the old days when parents spanked their kids. Amen. As God said to do. And we'd have a whole lot less trouble. Oh, go ahead and amen. It'll be all right. There's nobody going to arrest you. I'm telling you, my sister got in trouble, and I'll never forget this. Dad had to paddle out, and he gets her down, and she bends over his knee, and I started laughing. Boy, that was not a good idea. Man, I learned if you're going to laugh, go far, far away. And I'll never forget. You know, it's like, ha, 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 ha. Dad says, get up here, son. And he beat the fire. I think he beat me harder than he did her. And she really deserved it. I was innocent. Listen to me. God says, I am going to deal with this, and it is not going to be something they're going to get away from because I'm all powerful. We think we get away with stuff. We think we're not going to pay. We think, oh, this is so easy. He said, verse 9, I will make thee perpetual desolations. That means over and over and over. It ties in with verse 5. If you're going to keep hating my people, if you're going to keep hating me, God said over and over and over, you're going to be desolate. And it's just going to keep happening. Thy city shall not return and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You say, preacher, you make it sound like God's angry. He is. He is. And we ought to all thank God he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross, to take my judgment for me, and to take your judgment for you. Because without that, he'd be angry at you. If you're not saved, you need to get saved today. He made a way so you could be saved. And judgment always comes. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. That is an appointment that we will keep. King Nebuchadnezzar was a big shot. King Nebuchadnezzar, even God recognized that he was a great, great king. He was the head of gold in the dream that he had. He was a big shot. And it went to his head, and he realized, you know what? I'm a big shot. I can do pretty much whatever I want to do. Daniel chapter 4 says, one day Nebuchadnezzar went out and said, you know what? I'm the greatest. I really am. Nobody's going to mess with me. And just like that, he had some sort of mental breakdown, and he became like a beast. They chained him in the backyard. Can you imagine? The king! And he became like a wild animal for 7 years, eating grass of the field. The king. I'm going to go see the king. Well, make sure you take him a bone. That's the king. But you have to understand, he's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And the Bible says in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. He is omnipotent. He is in complete control today. Oh, he allows things, just like Edom. He let them laugh. He let them mock. He let them rejoice. He let them cheer. Oh, yeah. He allows things to take place. It's kind of like the nations around Israel. He lets them mess with them. I preached on that before as to why. Hey, it's like I'm his kid. He lets me get bullied every now and then, right? He lets some things happen in our lives. Oh, he could stop any of it. Do you understand? He could put an end to any of it. But he allows things to happen for a season. Like I said, all those nations around Israel, they think they're going to someday possess Israel. They're not. You know, in our lives, we can have his power. And that takes me to Craig's song. Then I met the Master. The Master. His power can do anything in my life if I'll just let him be the Master. I can be stupid, do my own thing, but he's the Master. He's all-powerful. I can try myself to do things, but he's all-powerful. He can help you today. You need help? Financial? Health? Job? You need help? He's all-powerful. Just this week, I've heard, I don't know how many answers to prayer, different things, where God did something in somebody's life, and it was God. Because they let God. They said, God, I need you. Oh, and he will defeat Satan. The devil's going down. I've watched him defeat him many, many times in my life, different things. I've seen it. I'm so glad I met the Master. He is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. And he deals with things as he chooses. But the Edomites, they'll know. One of these days, they'll know. Oh, you know, you hear about it all the time. They took somebody and put them up. You know, the Muslims, they put somebody up in front of the TV or on the internet, and they took a knife and they cut off their head. Okay. You like blood? You'll get it. And one day, anyone who has gone against God, they're going to find out he is the Lord. He is the Lord. And I'm so glad I met the Master. Let me close with, I want to give you three verses. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. first of all, I want you to end up today just thanking God for these three things. First of all, I want you to thank God for His omnipresence. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. And this is many people's life verse. Jeremiah 29 and verse 13. Such a blessing. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. How's that so? Because He's there. He's right there. Right there. Jonah didn't have to somehow get a cell phone in the belly of the whale. He didn't have to, you know, some way get some kind of satellite dish to so he could communicate. He just called. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know how many times I've been in that belly and I've just called. Been in that fiery furnace and I just called. Been drowning in a sea of distress and all I had to do is call. It's all you have to do. You shall seek me and find me. When you're low enough, you will. You will. You will. Thank God for His omnipresence. Thank God He's there. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Look at Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Back, next book back. Isaiah 59 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. He knows all, and as we saw in our passage, He hears all. He hears that call. I was 17 years old, and I didn't have a church background, didn't have a church to go to as far as being able to say, you've been my pastor all my life, or you've been my Sunday school teacher all my life. I didn't have, but I had a God in heaven that heard me when I called. He knew. He knew what was going on in my heart. He knew what was happening. He knew, and He heard me when I called. And the last thing, Romans 1, verse 16. Then I met the Master. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. The power of God. Somebody says, you know, I just don't see my life being any different. Oh, but the power of God. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if you're not saved, He'll save you and your life will change. But if you're saved and you mess up, He has the power to straighten everything out. If you just let Him. Oh, listen, they shall know. I'm so glad today that I know He's always there. You say, what about when you're trying to get away? Oh yeah, I might look over my shoulder like you do. I might try, you know, because we're all sinners. The Bible says we're not. None of us are perfect. Yeah, sure, but ultimately, I'm so glad He's right there. I'm so glad that He knows, because it keeps me from staying silent. He knows. He already knows. You say, well, I just don't want to talk to God about it. I'm ashamed. He knows. He already knows. And I'm so glad for His omnipotence. Boy, we all get ourselves in messes, don't we? We really do. God's power can make it right. He is all powerful. All over this room, I just look around and I see where God has made the difference. And people could stand, as Craig did a while ago, and say, it was a mess. Then I met the Master. And He made it all right. Let's bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.